Is the approval of the agenda?
So moved.
Sure, yeah.
All in favor?
Aye.
Take a minute to go over the minutes for January.
Motion to accept.
In second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Public comments.
That closes the public.
Thank you for your service.
Keep this rolling. That'll be the quickest meeting ever.
We'll probably.
Discussion. All right, old business. Nuisance discussion with the chief Bobby.
That's it. I was just asked about 522 North Fort Fisher Boulevard, about how many times we've been there. We've been there twice for a police matter. One of them being the fireworks, and one that was in October of 16, and August 16, we had an alarm activation there. Those are the only two times we've been to that particular house.
So I guess from the sound of it, we've had this discussion, is that the nuisances have gone down dramatically since we made a big issue of it, it sounds like.
Those are only two times we've been at that house.
At that house. But I think in general, last time, a couple months ago, we talked about that too, how the overall level of nuisance calls have gone down dramatically. I think the renters and the property managers have kind of stepped up to try to make things a little bit better.
Yeah, I think the last house you had was a wedding house at 850-something in South Fort Fisher Boulevard. Crossing Reds used to get calls there every weekend for weddings and stuff. So we don't get calls there. I don't think we've been there in probably a year or so.
I'm not a big fan of fixing something that doesn't need fixing. All right, well, good.
Chief, what we're saying is there's no real issue out there, right?
You know, we do have calls about trash, noise, misbehaving.
We don't get calls about the trash, noise. If we do, we have the noise ordinance to go by. Fireworks, we have the fireworks. State statute, we can go by. Parking, that kind of stuff.
But there's no real identification. And the reason, of course, is that in order for us to create any sort of permitting process for short-term rentals, we have to identify certain properties that have a problem, you know, and it's got to be tracked. And I mean, that's the way the state law is written right now. So, but it doesn't sound like there's a select group of properties that you see as being kind of consistently a problem at the present time.
No, sir.
Are there any pattern in any kind of screen?
No, sir.
Okay.
All
right.
Cool. First one done.
All right, thank you.
Well, you're welcome to stay.
Yeah. Well, talk about fence heights and exotic animals. So this is fun stuff.
Yeah, home to my young.
Hey, Chief Jim Eldridge. Public records.
Yeah. Yes, appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Good to meet you.
Donald.
Good,
you.
Good job, Mike. All right.
That is fences and fence heights.
Fence and fence heights.
Down to you.
Have two emails of this.
Two emails.
You get the two emails.
There's two or three other people that have called this week over requests for fences and want to know about whether or not we were going to allow 6-foot fences. Told them to email in. I figured that'd be the best way to communicate with the board. That's just from this past month.
Okay. But as John and I were talking about, when I got this and I saw it was back on the agenda, I went back and looked at a lot of what I would consider better planned communities to see what they do. I looked at Cary, I looked at Southport, I looked at Riceville Beach. I looked at a couple other ones down in South Carolina. I looked at a couple of California ones, Laguna Beach and things like that. Almost all of them, in fact, all of them had the 4-foot in front type of rule. They all had 4-foot And I have to admit, every one that I looked at, except for one, one had 4 foot in the back, but all the other ones had 6 feet in the back. And so they were allowing 6 feet in the back, 4 feet in front, but all of them also said that if you're on a corner lot and your side yard fronted a street, that the 4 foot requirement was there, so you didn't have a 6 foot type of fence on the street front.
So you could do three sides, 6 foot.
You could do three sides, right, if you were a corner lot.
Yeah.
You know, just so you didn't have a 6 foot fence right there, you know, on a. So I don't have a problem going up to 6 feet. I mean, and these are very well planned communities I have a lot of respect for. So I personally don't have a problem going up to 6 feet. You know, with the caveat that I think there should be a limit if you're on a corner lot and you're fronting a street that should be 4 feet, because that's what all the other ones do on that. You know, how do you define a back versus a front? We didn't really define it. The homeowners associations in Kiri Beach pretty well defined it that the back corner of the property is where the backyard starts for fencing purposes. So Kiri Beach Village and places like that, you know, you can't have a fence. They don't even allow any fences in front. But you know, you can't have a fence, and they max it out at 4 foot in the back. But they define it from the back corners, so you don't have a side yard, you know, basically, unless you get specific permission from it. So, I mean, I just throwing that out. I kind of fought for the 5 feet. I kind of understand the 6 feet simply because board length just at 4 feet and 6 feet, not 5 feet. And I can understand why people might want a pool, but you know, some very well planned communities have 6 feet, so I'm not gonna. You know, fight for 5 feet versus 6 feet, but I do believe it should be just the backyard. I think there should be a limit if you're on the side yard that fronts the street.
Well, do we have a definition of backyard in any of our rules here, as far as fencing is concerned?
As far as fencing concerns, no, sir.
So, for example, we say the back corner of the house going back, or even the front corner going back to the back of the house.
I wouldn't do the front corners. If you were going to do anything, I would do something that's a concept, and that would be a straight up, you know, considering a 50 by 100 lot, you're allowed to fence in the back half of your lot with a 6 foot fence if you want to.
See, I would do it like the homeowners associations here, make it from the back corner.
That's on a constant. That's the only thing that I was concerned
about. Pretty
constant
to me. I mean, it's a yeah. Consistent. It's not being a constant, but it's consistent.
I think they can get a little closer. If you're going 50, so you're saying 50 by 100 wide, get a 50 foot fence up the side.
That's 6 feet tall.
I think that, see, to me, I think that gets a little across the board.
Okay. I just thought about
have 5 foot setbacks on houses, and a lot of the houses are built with setbacks.
Oh, yeah.
But I do like the back corner.
Okay, so a lot of times, just so you understand, you know, most houses you're going to have that, they meet the back setback too. Some of them might be 15 or 20 feet, but then we've got a lot of older houses that I know are close to the back property line. In fact, they don't meet the front setback at all, so they can fit in the entire backyard and come all the way to the back corner.
Yeah, no, you got to pick some standard.
Yeah.
You know, sure. I think, and, you know, if you're going to call it a backyard, to me, a backyard isn't truly a backyard. Not a side yard, but the backyard. And the backyard would start at the back corners. And if you're going to call it a backyard. You know, and that would mean, like my house, I'm pretty well right up against the back setback. So that means if I were to do it, I'd have a 10 foot backyard, basically.
Yeah.
But other people might have bigger ones, you know, larger ones.
Okay.
You know, I would hope that people wouldn't do a 6 foot fence, you know, personally. You know, I think that's possible. It doesn't give a good image. But the other thing, too, is, you know, what do we do about corner lots where do we want a 6 foot fence, you know, going down the residential street? You know, just simply from an aesthetics point of view.
Well, if people are putting up a 6 foot fence, they're going for privacy.
Yeah. Or security for pools. Well, I'll make a motion.
I mean, the only reason I would have any issue with the side on a corner lot is if it would impede someone's view of the street, you know, if it's close to the front of the house, but that can't happen. It's a little bit back.
Like I said, I'm not a, I mean, I have an opinion, but I'm not going to fight for it, that type of thing. But I do think the back corner is the best way to find backyard. And I, if somebody wants to put it on a street front, the back corner goes down the street front, it's, if we allow that 6 feet. I mean, the homeowners associations aren't allowed anyway, so on this whole side, you wouldn't see that. Because all the homeowners associations have even more strict definitions.
Well, last month, y'all voted to allow a max 5 foot fence and to take chain link fences out.
Right. Well, I'll make a motion to modify the motion from our last meeting to approve height from 4 feet to 6 feet for backyards, with backyards defined as, and what would be the proper way of defining that? If we're talking about the back corners to the back property line.
Yeah, that's basically it. I don't know that I could do that off the top of my head. That's the concept.
So, I said this is a motion and we're not writing the ordinance right now. So this is a motion that we're the backyard, so we'll raise the height from 4 feet to 6 feet for the backyard, with the backyard defined as from the back two corners of the house to the back property line. And no chain link fence. Do we also want to define anything else we don't want in the...
Well, we already have that in existence from the last time.
What if somebody wants a fence in a vacant lot?
Well, we have a partial motion on the table. Did you want to do anything about corner lots in your motion?
No, that's not like that's going to pass, so I'm not going to make a
motion. If we use to solve that problem with a vacant lot, if we use the back of the house as the marker for a fence, then there's nothing on the place they can put a fence in. There's no house to build.
I would say, why would somebody want a fence in a vacant lot?
Actually, I probably would look at the ordinance literally and say, well, you don't really have a house or a backyard here, so I'm going to restrict you to 4 feet.
Yeah, that's fine.
I think what we need to do right now is just modify the one here. We've already approved 5 foot, so we just want to move it in the back to 6 foot.
Yeah, just move it, but then define what a backyard is.
Right.
I think we need to define a backyard from the back corners of the property line and approve the height from 4 feet to 6 feet.
Why don't we give this to the attorney and have him bring something back?
Right. So that would be the motion.
Thank you, gentlemen.
That the attorney also come back with a rewriting of the ordinance. Reflecting that.
We'll do that second.
Be happy to do it.
I'll second.
Aye.
Livestock.
Okay, can I ask a question though? One of the requests somebody wanted to do a side yard fence. Okay, for the rental.
Yes.
Are we going to, can people appeal for an exception or a exception to this, and if they have a strong argument?
Well, they could seek a variance.
Seek a variance.
But the four criteria you got to prove for a variance, I think it'd be difficult to get a variance to.
Just because they don't like the neighbors?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
So at that point, they could come to you with the text amendment.
That's right.
Okay,
my favorite topic, livestock and exotic animals.
And we do have specific wording here.
I'll take that, Vice Chair. Miss Kathleen was good enough to give me a copy of that portion of the minutes telling me exactly what I needed to do, which was to remove spiders in the definition and make sure amphibians were venomous, produce a definition for livestock enclosure, and then on the second page, give the building inspector discretionary authority for livestock, not exotic animals, but livestock that's not listed at the table at the end. Those changes are in front of you in red. Everything else has been agreed to, so if you'd like to take a second to review those red changes and indicate whether you're good to go. The only, before I let you read it, the only question I had after having drafted it was on the second page where you, where the building inspector has the discretionary authority. I forgot to put it in, but a lot of times you want to introduce a reasonable man type standard so that you're not resting on what could be arbitrary and capricious authority. So one of the things I was playing with while we were talking about fences was on the second page, 424B, the red revision start with subsection 1, maybe have that read, accept, review, and issue permits for livestock animal types not enumerated in Table 4.1, which would be reasonable to be kept within town's corporate limits. It's a vague standard, but we use reasonable man or woman, reasonable person, quite a bit in setting standards. And the question then, if it was challenged, is, well, would it be reasonable or not to keep a horse inside the city limits, as opposed to, well, who gave Inspector Batson the authority to rule out horses? In our opinion, he did it arbitrarily. That's where the reasonableness standard comes in to guard against that. So just tell me what you think about the revisions. We're on draft 5, and as we learned last time, we can kick this can down the road for meetings and meetings and meetings. I think we just decided to wrap it up and add these. And question is whether this wraps it up for you.
I'd like to make a motion to accept this as amended by you.
Just with the reasonable man.
With the reasonable person status in there.
I'll second that.
Okay. Any further discussion?
I mean, the only further discussion I have is I think it's, I mean, the document has evolved into a very coherent and acceptable document, I think, versus where we were at the very beginning. So I think, kicking it down the road, sometimes, you can score.
Yeah.
And I think we've got a better document.
We are not going to allow exotic animals at all.
Well, we can table it if you want.
No.
Well, you got a motion on the table.
We're allowing livestock with the if John approves livestock.
Ducks and rabbits or something other reasonable.
Yeah, if it's reasonable.
If it's reasonable.
If there's something on that's not on the list and it comes to John, and John thinks it's reasonable to keep it in the town, then so be it.
Or they call it a Galapagos turtle. That would be reasonable. Right.
How about little picnic tables? Those little
like I said, we can kick this can. We can kick this can all we want.
No. I mean, there's a motion and right.
a second. You leave that authority to the building inspector.
Yes.
What about 10 years from now when we have a different building inspector?
It's a living document. You can change the document.
Okay.
We have a motion.
All right. Refresh my memory. What happens now?
Those are public hearings. I mean, does the motion also recommend?
And we recommend this be forwarded to the council.
I'll make that motion that this now be forwarded to the council for consideration.
Did we put this in the zoning ordinance, i.e., do we need a consistency statement?
It's chapter 4, it's not in the zoning ordinance.
Okay. So we're good to go then. No consistency.
Council doesn't have to have a public hearing unless they want to, since it doesn't have to do a zoning issue.
That's correct.
All right, so I have a motion to forward this now to the council for consideration.
Second.
Ms. Kathleen, I'll get you draft 6, right, which is on the draft probably tomorrow.
Oh, great.
All right, we'll be right along. Development line.
At this month's council meeting, I plan on presenting to council the map of the development line. Part of becoming part of the CRC's rules that allow towns to produce their own development line is to have ordinance language. that conforms to their standards. So part of the reason we're doing all this is to introduce this language into our ordinance that would more or less codify the development line and its, what's the word I'm looking for, rulability. So it's backed up by the ordinance. So I thought I'd bring it to the P&Z board for their review. If you want to bless it and send it to council, that's fine. If you don't want to bless it and send it to council, that's fine too, because I'll be giving it to them either way. And council may decide they don't want to go the route of using a development line altogether. I don't know yet.
So the development line is taking place here. The staff.
That's correct.
I would recommend forwarding it with the blessing of the commission, with an understanding that at least there'd be some discussion presented about some of our caveats. And the big caveat I can remember is, you know, the PR issue of, well, you know, getting closer to the beach, and I can see that's being a PR issue.
Some council members have expressed the same concerns. Guilty?
It is a concern. I can see that in the newspaper that we're eroding more.
Bigger houses closer to your house.
Bigger houses closer to the beach. I absolutely.
So line of vegetation is no longer going. This will take the place of that.
No, three different things. So you have what we call now the static line. You measure 60 feet towards the river from that. That's where you can start building your house. In between those lines, we have what's called the perpetual beach nourishment easement line.
Yeah, the same thing.
Sometimes that's a little more restrictive in the Sea Watch case. But in no case can you have a swimming pool or anything past that line towards the ocean. Right. So in going the development line route, what we are saying is that perpetual beach nourishment easement line, that is now our development line. Your house can't go any closer than that to the ocean, but you also can't put any pools any closer than that either. That line is it, period. So yes, you could possibly get your houses closer to the ocean, but in doing so, you won't be able to have any decks. You won't be able to have any pools, things of that nature, if you push it to the limits of going all the way to the development line. I don't think people will be taking advantage of this for that very reason. You won't be able to have that pool there. You won't be able to have that deck there. And on top of that, the closer you get to the ocean, the more restricted the flood zones are. You see what I'm saying there?
Okay. So the building line will be, so then you're doing away with the 60 foot stable line of vegetation.
No, sir. Stable line of vegetation is still there. And it still applies to this development line. It's not going to apply as much in Curie Beach because our dune system is so strong and large. But the way that would work, where it would come into play is down around some of the ocean dunes properties. The first line of stable natural vegetation kind of becomes your new camel line, and you have to be 60 feet back from that. But you can't be any closer to the ocean than the development line. Did I lose you there, or do I make sense?
You lost me on that.
Okay. Let me see if I can find a...
Hey, do you have that map reported?
What's on TV?
Didn't make it enough. Hey, I'll tell you a really good show, Shades of Blue. Have you seen that, Shades of Blue? I gotta get to that.
Should we move this on? You want to take a break? Go off the record?
No, I want to talk about you.
You're not talking about Fifty Shades of Grey, are you? Is that what you're talking about?
Shades of Grey, Shades of Blue.
Shades of Blue.
Shades of Blue, NBC. Great.
Did you see that, babe?
No. I can't watch Network TV. I watch Cowboy Channel and Western Effects.
Okay. So right now, Lift Ocean, here's your dune line. This is also what's considered the first line of stable natural vegetation.
Now we're looking sideways, I guess, right? Is that
overhead view?
This is overhead view, okay.
Yeah. Here's the ocean, here's the road.
Okay.
So the wet development line would work now. You measure 60 feet from your first line of stable natural vegetation. So if you're looking at a map and you see this is where the greenery is, right along this line right here, well, we're going to call that first line of stable natural vegetation. We're going to measure 60 feet towards Fort Fisher Boulevard, and that would be the closest you could get to the ocean at that point.
And that's the development?
No, not necessarily. At that point, at the same time, you have essentially another new static line that's already there, the easement line, and it runs right here. Okay, so it's more restrictive at that point. So you can forget all this, you can build up that line and that's it. If you want to have any kind of a pool or a deck, closer to the ocean, you're going to have to shrink that house size up so you can fit them within that line.
But that perpetual line is already there.
It is already there.
It's already there in established.
Correct.
That's going to work on my house. That means I can push my house back towards the ocean and my pool back towards the ocean.
Up to that, east line, yeah. As long as that's not a primary dune. Which, in your case, is a primary dune. So you're pretty much maxed out completely with what you have right now.
Okay, what about the areas that south that don't have that big dune system?
So, Sea Watch, all the Sea Watch houses are already built up to this line. They can't do anything more there. Down south, 400, 500 block of South Fort Fisher Boulevard, because of the dune lines and the way things are set up, it's quite possible they might get another 10 foot of footprint with their pool, if they wanted it. However, I gotta keep throwing this out there. The flood maps and the flood zones are gonna really inhibit people from actually doing this. I don't think you're gonna see this happen as much as you think it is. Where this is really going to benefit us is in the business district and possible redevelopment of some of our larger condos. Possible.
And this would affect ocean dunes and the riggings, or the riggings and others?
There's really nothing that we can do for the riggings, and there will be. That's, I mean, that's plain and simple fact.
The vegetation line that you measured from, is that like they went back to like...
The way we used to measure it, remember?
Real views.
Yep.
So, is that still the way they're going to measure that, or are they measuring it from the vegetation?
It'll be a lot-by-lot basis. So in other words, you want to build on 325 South Fort Fisher Boulevard, there's nothing on it, and you know that line is not going to be as restrictive as this line. Then I'm going to go out there and throw a couple markers out, and your surveyor is going to go mark those markers.
So which do you measure from vegetation today?
Vegetation today.
So you're not going to use the old map from 94.
No, but we're doing it the same method. Got to remember though, that line's already there. You can't go over that line as it is now. I guess I should have hit that whole presentation up. I thought y'all had a pretty good understanding of it.
Yeah, I remember that.
Alan might not have been there.
PowerPoint.
I don't, were you here when he did the PowerPoint?
Yeah.
You might have, you missed one meeting.
No, I remember, the thing that jumped out at me is that some houses could get, as you said, bigger and closer to the beach, and it was a PR issue. You know, it's, I mean, that's really the only.
That would concern me too, but by the time they look at the square footage that they could lose compared to what they could gain, and then the added construction costs by doing that because of the new flood zones, I just don't think we're going to see it.
But it could help them affect ocean dunes, for example, with the rebuild of the recent construction.
Quite possibly.
How is it going to affect the commercial district? What's the issue with it? Because you said the commercial district might be affected. The motels pushing further back, or what?
The way the setbacks are set up right now, they're based on a graduated setback, so the larger the structure is, the further back it's got to go.
Okay.
So this
would eliminate the graduated process?
It won't eliminate the graduated process, but it will eliminate the line that they're being measured from right now, which is arbitrary in my opinion as it is. If you're familiar with that downtown district where the boardwalk runs along Atlantic Avenue, well, directly underneath that boardwalk is an old bulkhead that's been there since the 40s. Well, that is what CAMA considers our static line. That immediately makes it more restrictive on all of our business district because that line is closer than anywhere else in Kerry Beach to those properties. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I understand that, but I don't see why that would affect them. I mean, what can they do?
Give them a measure from the
to build closer. I'm trying to think of what they can do to build closer than, or what benefit are they going to get from it?
Because at that point, because that line is further away, they'll be able to measure that 60-foot setback, and they'll be able to get closer to this line than they would as it is now.
But how what would they practically build, extend to get closer? I mean, I'm thinking, you got motels, I guess they could add more structure closer then, is that?
Rebuild would be a big part of it.
Rebuild.
But there's one lot in particular that I know for a fact he's looking at developing right now. It's where Bud and Joe's and real estate offices.
Right.
Right now, he could build back basically what's there and go up 35 feet. But if this ordinance came into play, he could fill up that entire lot with a structure.
Because right now we can't do anything in that parking lot.
That's correct.
That would kind of be the same for the Pierre House restaurant.
That's correct.
If that went away, we'd move back.
That's correct. I'm sorry, I wish I'd been more prepared for you. At any rate, this is just part of this mechanism before we can be accepted into the program. It's got to be part of our ordinance.
But the camera rule's not going to change either, though. Like, it's still under 5,000 square foot, right?
They have graduated setbacks. But yes, it's still 5,000 square feet, yes. So no, you can't just go up there and build a 7,000 square foot house now.
Then you go to like the camera rate.
Yes.
Does the definition of development line on that document, is that accurate?
That's why I sent you one.
Yeah.
Okay. I sent you exactly what Cam was already approved for Carolina Beach and Oak Island.
It says that the line established in accordance with yada, 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 representing the seaward most location whereby the vegetation line or measurement line shall be used instead of the static vegetation line.
Yeah.
Okay. I defer to you because I've never worked with these concepts before. All my work's been in Brunswick County, not on the ocean.
So. Oak Island and Carolina Beach are the only ones that have become a part of this so far. That's a fairly new concept.
I mean, we really don't need to vote. You said you're going to present it anyway, and so
I am.
I would say that
I figured this would be considered y'all since we've already done the presentation with you, the PowerPoint. You know, if you if you want to send it to council with your blessing, that's fine, but if you don't feel comfortable right now, I understand that too, so I can see there's a little bit of confusion.
Well, what's going on? It makes sense to me.
A couple of points, Vice Chair. In proposing this development line language for this particular section, in looking at the section, we also did some reorganization and syntax, things that with the existing language didn't have. We're amending section 5-61 not only for development line purposes, but to make it clear, to make clear what was already there. So I had some questions and about that that John may also want to respond to. But if you look at subsection 3, all the subsections are new. The old 5-61 was the black text that was in two different paragraphs that were not numbered. So we broke out different subsections. But in that black text, in the existing text, which is black, there were some questions, and John can probably help me on this. Subsection 3, the current section literally reads, those structures located in the B1 district or deemed commercial and the established fire district of the town. There's something not right about that sentence, and but that's the current text. So you see my question mark, or deemed commercial, and what should it say? And within the established fire district, does the established fire district have anything to do with this?
I would say yes, it should say within it.
And within, okay.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad you pointed that out, because the B1 district is obviously a district. Deemed commercial, that's kind of a fuzzy thing, because now we have the mixed use zone. So how will that affect, if somebody wants to go, let's say, on K Avenue and do a commercial building as a mixed use type of thing, would that language now affect that? Because I can see that being deemed commercial.
I don't know if commercial is defined anywhere in the ordinance, but
why don't we just, is there any other commercial building anything but the B1 or now the mixed use?
Well, the precise way of doing it is just to enumerate the districts that are applicable, instead of having vague language of being commercial.
And I would agree with that, because as I'm thinking about it, if somebody were to come in and say mixed use and say that, oh, okay, I'm doing a commercial property over there on K Avenue next to two residential things, would this affect them? Maybe they could build it bigger than...
I just finally figured out what you're asking. If you actually read that sentence, it says, or deemed commercial and within established fire district of the town.
So it should say, and within the established
fire. Got the within. We're...
So there's no way it can be either or. It has to be...
Okay, because right now it doesn't say that. It has this question mark. It doesn't say and within.
Well, that question mark was my cue to bring up this issue.
Because it was missing the word within.
Right. So I know now to plug in within to correct that typographical error that's currently in the current text. But are we still concerned about the phrase deemed commercial? Do we need...
Yeah, and that doesn't affect... I mean, the question is that if I'm putting a commercial outside the B1 district, let's say in the mixed-use district down K Avenue right now, which we now allow commercial activity, if I were to, say, buy a lot there and want to build a commercial activity on mixed-use, would this language allow me to build something different than what would currently be built there?
No.
In terms of lot coverage size?
No.
Still about 65%.
That's correct. Because you're not in the B1, nor are you in the fire district.
Okay. All right.
All right. This second question I've got, this goes back to, by deference to John's knowledge of CAMA. back to the definition of development, I inserted placement of sandbags in that definition that wasn't in the definition that you provided me. I don't know enough about CAMA to know if that's a correct insertion or not.
I don't want to put anything in there about sandbags. I'm glad you brought that up.
Right, so we'll take that out.
They'll get all jumpy on me if that's in there.
Well, that's exactly why. then on the second page, another what I thought was typographic error in the existing text, which I've now set out as subsection 5. The current text reads, any type of impervious surface across the town right-of-way. Is there only one town right-of-way, or is it any town right-of-way?
I'll consider that any town right-of-way.
So I should change the to any? Or do you have more than, does the town have more than one right-of-way?
There's right-of-way everywhere. It applies to all of them. That's the way I've always read that ordinance. I don't have a problem with the way it's written.
No reason to fix something that's not broke.
What do you think? I mean, tell me what your line of thinking was.
It's just replacing the word the with any. Because the implies only one town right away.
Okay, yeah. Since we're doing changes.
All right, so I'll put any.
Jim, at number 4, you had a question mark in the third one.
Number 4. Oh, wait, thank you. I couldn't see that. Type of question. The current first of all, I changed the title of the New Hanover County Department. It looks to me like it's Building Safety Department that now does inspections and permits, but John probably, that's what I got off of looking at the website. But other than changing the title, I had another syntax type question. Any commercial construction requiring review by the yada 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 pertaining to mechanical, electrical, plumbing, or fire permits? Is there such a thing as a fire permit that you're responsible for as a building inspector?
As a fire inspector, yes.
So it's okay to have fire permits in that?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. That's all I wanted to know. Thanks.
The only other thing I would point out about that is I've never noticed this before, but it says it shall be obtained prior to a building permit. It's usually...
Yeah, well, I wondered about that, too.
It should be.
In conjunction with?
In conjunction with, yeah, that'd be good.
Because that was like the chicken and the egg.
That's right.
So in conjunction, permits...
in conjunction to a building permit being issued by the town's building inspector.
Yeah. Yeah, got it.
That's more accurate.
I think those are the only questions I've got. So, again, there's two things going on here. We're amending this section to cover development line issues, and we're amending this section to provide more clarity and reorganizing it, which has nothing to do with the development.
So we should have a vote.
Yes.
Well, I'll make that motion that we... recommend sending to the council the revised changes on section 5-61, including the amendments to the written document that have been just discussed. And recommend approval. Yes.
And again, John, this is not zoning, correct?
It's not zoning. Even though it's got zoning components to it.
So I'll send you this too.
Thank you.
Motion in a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Good.
I just have one member item. The Wilmington business newspaper puts out an annual summary. I know they just published it, I think, about last week. And I was flipping through, and on the second page, they had the wealthiest or the list of all the zip codes in the region, including all the ones in New Hanover County and so forth, as to which are the wealthiest zip codes, and Kerry Beach is now number one.
Nice.
Yeah, we are now the wealthiest by every standard, except for property prices. We're number two on property prices. Wrightsville Beach is number one on property prices. We're number two. But on median income, on average wealth and everything like that, we are now number one in the region in terms of place to live.
You don't think those higher fences are going to impact on
it? It may. We may drop the number two now. But that is, in my opinion, that is because of good planning and good zoning.
Yeah, amen.
Enforcement. So we are now number one. So.
I'll pass and make a motion to adjourn.
I'll second the motion.
All right.
Thank you all. I enjoyed that.
It's always good to meet you.